Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps to build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show. Hi, Sydney. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I am a screenwriter and an author. I have my first debut book. It's a romantic comedy called Best Men, and it's coming out May 2nd of this year. And I'm super excited about that because it's finally here, coming in a couple months. Mm-hmm. And you can pre-order it now. And originally from Chicago, the suburbs, and I live in New York City currently with my partner and our fuzzy labradoodle dog.
So I lived in New York for 14 years and I moved to Chicago right before the pandemic, like 2 weeks before the pandemic.
Oh, so wow.
I spent the pandemic in Chicago. Like, I got the opposites. It was like a good transition city. So I would just tell you, I have like a fondness for both cities, you know. But it's more like, yeah. So yeah, New York is, has its own energy, you know.
Yes, for sure. They're different and similar, and they're both, I have a love and sometimes love-hate relationship with both. So yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like for me, New York was like the one, I call it the toxic boyfriend. Like, you get to the point where like you either want to stay there forever or you want to leave. And I got to the point where I was like, I overstayed my stay. And yeah. So moved to Chicago, and reasons outside of my control, I ended up moving. I moved to Florida, which is like just another story. But wow. Chicago became the city that, the one that got away for me. Like,
I love, yeah. Chicago. Yeah, I was born and raised sort of in the, you know, in the suburbs, the northern suburbs, and
yep.
Spent some time in the city after college, and have been in New York sort of ever since. And I'm kind of, my entire extended family is in this surrounding area of Chicagoland, yeah. And yeah. But you know, I'm now getting to the point where like I'm creeping up to as many years in New York as I've, yeah. Grew up in Chicago, and I'm like, okay, is it time for something else? And but I will always have both cities in my heart. So
yeah.
No matter it's where, like, I am, they're in my heart. Yeah,
it is exciting. Yeah.
Yeah.
So all right, so let's chat about your journey, because you're a screenwriter and you're doing a fiction debut, like a rom com. So right. What was your journey like? You know. What was your journey to start writing? Like, did you start writing growing up and you knew like you want to write movies and then like eventually branch out to fiction, or what was the journey look like for you?
Yeah, so I've always been kind of thinking I would be a writer when I was growing up. My mom and dad were like growing up super avid readers, and we had tons of books everywhere. My mom would read romance books and V.C. Andrews and like biopics and, you know, celebrity memoirs, everything. And my dad had, growing up, like stacks of newspapers by his bed. So I was always around words, and I wrote a really terrible choose your own adventure book, if you remember those, when I was like 12. And it was really bad. Because of that, I had always like been encouraged by friends and family, like asking me when I was going to write a book. But I became obsessed with movies, you know, around college. And when I graduated, I wanted to become a screenwriter. And I sort of studied screenwriting and film and classes like that. But I wanted to be a working writer, so I went into advertising and sort of followed in the footsteps of my hero, John Hughes, who was in advertising, and then he became a filmmaker, and from Chicago, of course.
Yeah.
So I was in advertising as a copywriter, and then I moved to Comedy Central, where I was writing and directing sort of in-house. And then while I was there, I was writing screenplays, and one of them sort of you know, got a little traction, and I was able to get like a manager and an agent because of that. It got on the blacklist, which is like Hollywood's, you know, number one top rated screenplays of the year that are yet to be produced kind of thing. So it opened up a lot of doors. I was able to become a working screenwriter. And, you know, I'd always had the book thing in the back of my mind, thinking like maybe when I turn 80, I would write a book in my third act. And because of the screenwriting, I was introduced to my current book agent, Dan Lazar, who's great. And he asked if I wanted to write a book. And I was like, okay, this is a sign. And I'm like, yes. And I had, you know, ideas and stuff, paragraphs and stories and characters in my drawers. And I was like, how about this? And I kind of, you know, pitched the story and started writing it right, probably when you moved out of New York, right around the pandemic hitting. And wrote during the pandemic, and then actually sold it during the pandemic, and here we are.
Oh my gosh. So rom-coms are like, they were a thing of the past. There's getting resurgence in the movie setting, but in the book world, rom-coms are like the new thing. They've been around for the past, like, I think since 2018, rom-coms became kind of like the new stuff, you know, that people are driving. And so what made you write a rom-com? You know, was it the market, or is it something like, you know, you were a fan of the genre?
Yeah. I was a complete fan. I guess the romance books my mom would read, you know, when I was a kid, I kind of was like into those. And, you know, like you're saying, like right now they're very different. But, and I grew up with, you know, Nora Ephron movies, and I loved like When Harry Met Sally and, you know, You've Got Mail, and just those I continue to watch to this day, and they get me every time. And I'm just a sucker for romantic comedies. And while I was, and I'm still, you know, doing screenwriting, but I've been getting probably, yeah, before the pandemic, I was getting a lot of rom-com books sent to me to adapt into screenplays. And some of the things that I was reading, I was like, oh, you can do this now? Like, this is the thing. And like, it's getting very specific. You know, I was getting a lot of LGBTQ rom-coms and a couple YA ones. And I was like, I'm finally like seeing when, you know, we can kind of tell our stories out there. And so I was like, I think I have a story, because I grew up not having those stories, you know, to read. And now it just, like, as you're saying, like the past 5 years to 10 years, it's like the doors have been open, and now I feel like we can kind of tell these stories. So I was like, okay, I want to tell my experience kind of growing up as an adult in New York. And that's sort of where the origin of the book came. And so I wanted to go back to my roots of like loving rom-coms and like what I'm seeing in the current books. And I just think all of the whole sort of romance, romantic comedy book surge is like super fresh and refreshing. And so I wanted to kind of see if I could do it too.
I love this. Yeah. I love the fact that there's a resurgence, but there's like more diversity, which is the one thing that we did not have in the 80s and the 90s. You know, it was very monolithic. It was great, but it was very monolithic to one heterosexual, you know, white, you know, experience. And so now we're getting it, at least in books, we're getting like LGBTQ, BIPOC authors, like Latinx, like Black authors, like a plethora of experiences and joy, which is like the beauty of it. It's like we're getting joy. We're not getting trauma.
Yeah. And growing up, it was always this sort of traumatic coming out stories, or maybe a serial killer here and there. And it's just great to have writing and reading like characters that are just out, and it's not, you know, being gay is not sort of the thing they have to overcome. It's like the romance they have to, like, you know, the obstacles in a romance rather than the tortured.
We put the author can put them the torture about the romance, and it's like the coming out is like not an issue. Like it's becoming not an issue. I'm like, oh, okay, you know.
Yeah. There's probably still room for it, you know, if it's uniquely done and things like that. But it's just nice to have. We can now sort of be involved in many different kinds of stories.
Yeah, you're able to live, you know.
Finally.
All right, so let's chat about Best Man. What is the elevator pitch?
Yeah, so it's sort of a rivals to lovers story. It's about a guy named Max Moody. He's about to turn 35. He lives in New York. And he's kind of a hopeless romantic, and he's the kind of guy who's sort of always dreaming of that coveted little paragraph in the New York Times wedding section and wants to see him and his partner's name, you know, about to get engaged. And so one day his best friend announces to him that she's getting married, and he's kind of, and she wants him in the wedding party as her man of honor. So he kind of quietly spins out of control because he thought he was the one to be married first. And, you know, he was the romantic one. And then he meets the best man of the groom, who's also gay. His name is Chasen, and he's sort of super handsome, charming, and he's kind of, they're polar opposites. So Max is Midwestern, he's introverted. He does not care for Madonna. he does not like the word brunch. And where Chasen is totally opposite, he's very social, he's outgoing, he's a New Englander, you know, he's East Coast guy. He's super into fashion, and he worships, you know, music that Max doesn't, like Beyonce and things like that. And so they're kind of, they start off not really digging each other. They can't stand each other really. And they start to sort of tolerate each other because for the sake of the wedding, and then a romance kind of sparks and blooms from there.
Oh my gosh, it sounds so good. And I can't wait for readers to pick it up.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Awesome. So let's chat about your reading life. What kind of books do you tend to read?
I run the gamut. I lately have been, you know, of course, because I'm writing romantic comedy, I've been reading a lot of romance and romantic comedy books. I love like a good biopic. I love, or not a biopic, like a biography book, a memoir. You want to hear like specific books?
Let's talk about some specific books. Yeah.
So the past couple of years, I've been really into Emily Henry. I love what she's putting out. I think I started with People We Meet on Vacation, and which was great. And then I just recently finished Book Lovers, which is about, I'm kind of late to that party, I think, a little bit. Sort of two rivals in the book industry. And then, you know, I love this sort of sisterhood story that it becomes, and the book, all the book references are like warm and fuzzy to me. And I just think her voice is so fresh and Nora Ephron-ish. And I'm loving what she's doing. And her new book, Happy Place, I'm really excited to read. I think that's coming out in a couple months. And then also late to the party, The Gunkle was a favorite of mine last year. I had not really read Stephen Rowley's books, but I need to catch up on all of his books. They seem so great. And The Gunkle is super fun, sort of sparkly setting in Palm Springs. And it's kind of a modern, you know, sort of modern take on Auntie Mame, which is one of my favorite, probably top 20 movies, originally a novel, I think. And so that's just a fun, and then it sort of like surprises you with characters dealing with grief and family. And it's really just a touching, funny, fun book. I read last year a book called The Midnight Library, which is not romance, but I was drawn to it because of the concept. And I love like a Charlie Kaufman-esque kind of weird, clever concept. And this has like everything I was looking for in that. And it really hit me because it was just so original. And it was quirky. It's by Matt Haig, who I think is British. And it sort of deals with like life's, you know, bigger questions, which I really loved. It hit me hard. And what else? The Mutual Friend was a great book by Carter Bays, who co-created How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
And he sort of wrote this, I think it's his debut book, and he wrote this sort of dizzying, dazzling, sort of epic yarn about a girl in New York City. I think like probably like it takes place 5 or 10 years ago or something like, or probably like 5 years ago, because it's as we're like addicted to screens and things like that. And he brings the funny on that. So I really enjoy that. And it's kind of epic. What else? Oh, I just picked up Stone Cold Fox.
Okay.
Which is, I'm really in like halfway into it and really digging it, by Rachel Kohler Croft, who's also a screenwriter. And it's just like, I love the sort of anti-hero. And she has this great wicked voice. And like the first sentence, I'm like, I'm in. And it's a thriller. And I've been getting into sort of a lot of, I love mysteries and thrillers in addition to the romance stuff. I'm sort of catching up on Agatha Christie, which I had not really dug deep into. And I had just finished And Then There Were None by Agatha Christie. And she's just the queen of, you know, structure and story. So I've been reading that because I'm also working on like a TV mystery comedy project. So trying to catch up on the good mysteries.
That sounds good. Awesome. If you are going back to Sue Morali's backlist, I would say Choose the Editors should be the next one, which is Jackie Onassis as your editor. So like imagine that reimagining relationship. It's so good. Like it's his writing is great. Like I'm looking forward to his new book is The Celebrance, I think it is. So
Celebrance
or something like that. So Happy Place is just it's just as good as you can imagine, you know. So awesome. So Sydney, tell us where you can find you online.
So I have a website, sidkarger.com, K-A-R-G-E-R, and then I'm on Instagram, which is just Sid KNY, or you can search Sid or Sydney Karger. And then I'm on Twitter. I sort of switch from like jokes to more of like, here are my books. and that's just at Sid Karger on Twitter.
Awesome. Thank you, Sydney, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other book recommendations, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. Thank you so much for listening and happy reading.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.